It's fitting that the next piece of scripture talks about the resurrection with Easter coming up. But the question I have for you is, you know, just to think about, what were some Easter traditions that you had? You know, what did you grow up doing around this time? A lot of people, their Easter tradition is going to church. Ours was, we went to church, and then my parents would drive separate that day, and then mysteriously during the service, one of them would disappear, and they would drive home, and then they would hide eggs. But we would wake up to Easter baskets. If you've ever done that, we'd wake up to the chocolate bunny. My dad would always get some sort of fishing lure and put it in there, and then we would do the Easter egg hunt that would contain the Reese's Minis until the Reese's eggs came out. Praise the Lord that that happened. And then we would get those instead. So I absolutely loved growing up around Easter time. And then there was a focus on the resurrection of Jesus. That's what Easter represents, right? It is the focusing in on Christ's resurrection. He dies, and then on the third day, he rose again. And so in this passage, what we see here is Paul is trying to correct a theology that the Church of Corinth has at this time that's kind of, it messes with the resurrection of Christ. And so not in a direct way, but in a very passive, indirect way. And first, what the Church of Corinth believed, was they believed in Christ's resurrection. They fully believed in that. They couldn't be saved unless they believed in that. Romans 10:9 talks about that God raised him from the dead. You had to believe that and confess it with your mouth. So they knew that, that they needed to believe in Christ's resurrection. The problem that they had was they did not believe in the resurrection of believers. And so one of the things that caused this, according to John MacArthur, said, a basic tenet of much of the ancient Greek philosophy was dualism, which taught that everything physical was intrinsically evil. So the idea of a resurrected body was repulsive and disgusting. And so the Church of Corinth didn't want to believe in the resurrection of believers, but in fact, they wanted to push away because they're surrounded, they're in a cesspool of other religions and beliefs that would look at that as repulsive. And so it's kind of bled into the church. And so what happened here is now Paul is addressing this exact thing. And starting in it's 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 12, it says, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain." We'll stop there for a second. Paul is addressing, he is actually connecting the two. He's saying if the dead believers, or the dead in general, because the Bible talks about it, it's not just believers that are resurrected, but unbelievers as well, and they will be taken to their judgment. We'll look at that verse here in a second in John. But Paul really dives into this idea that if the dead cannot be raised, then Christ couldn't be raised. Because Christ, in essence, he defeated death. And that's one of the tenets that we're holding on to in our faith. And so he says that not even Christ has been raised. And then he says, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. So you're believing in vain. What's the point if we only have hope on this earth and we're not rising again after death to our perfect bodies in God's image, then we're believing in vain. And he continues, he says, We're even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised, because Christ died. He was fully man, fully God. Christ died. And therefore, if we believe the dead cannot be raised by God, then Christ falls into that as well. Verse 17 says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied." John MacArthur says this in verses 13 through 19. In these verses, Paul gives six disastrous consequences if there were no resurrection. One, preaching Christ would be senseless. Faith in Christ would be useless. All the witnesses and preachers of the resurrection would be liars. No one would be redeemed from sin. Former believers would have perished, and Christians would be most pitied people on earth. But here's the cool part. This is taught in the Bible that we are to be raised from the dead. The first one is found in Daniel. Daniel 12, verse 2. It says, "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt." And so he talks about this is at the end times. He's prophesying about the end times. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. And not only that, but Jesus himself says it in John 5, verse 28 and 29. He says, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." So he's not just talking about believers. That's why Paul references resurrection of the dead. People are going to come back to life, and they will be judged on whether or not they believed in Christ or didn't believe in Christ, and then ultimately they would go to where God has put them. The thing is ultimately, because of the resurrection, we get the opposite of all these things. We get heaven. We're speaking truth. We're not lying. The Bible talks about this stuff. We just read. We have hope, not in this life only, but in eternity. And so, if we don't believe in the resurrection of the dead, and it pins us to resurrection of Christ as well, and then if we don't believe that, then we lose all hope in eternity. And then what are we teaching others? What are we preaching to others? In verse 20, Paul fixes this. He says, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." So he references the first fruits. So the people that even were before Christ, they will be the first fruits. They get to reap these benefits as well. And so they get this. They will be resurrected as well. "For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead." Verse 22, "For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." See, Adam brought death into the world. Christ brings life. And so this is a theology on the resurrection of the dead and Christ. So they're connected here. Because Christ defeated death, we're no longer bound by death. And so the resurrection of the dead is biblical, and it is in there. So where's your mindset concerning that? Do you need to dig a little bit more? If so, there are some verses in here, in the Old Testament, Job 19:26 talks about it. Psalm 16:8-11, and Psalm 17:15. There are some other ones in here too in the New Testament where Jesus talks about it. John 6:44, John 11:25, John 14:19. And then we also see some preaching about it in Acts 4:1-2. And so this is a really cool subject to think about and talk about, because it's all based around hope in the eternal. And so I urge you to look into it. This is one of the things of the Christian faith that is a big deal. And so look into the Bible, check it out, and see why we ought to believe and why we need to believe in the resurrection of Christ. So I hope this encourages you as you go about your week.